All right, another episode of Whiskey Throttle Radio. Thank you so much for listening. On this show, we have Chris Howell. He's number 122, racing 250 West on a JMC Husqvarna. So he's talking about his program, his results this year. He's had a career best 13th in Seattle, his home race, actually. And, yeah, just talking about the season so far and his goals, you know, to finish it out. We also have Liam Draper on. He's racing XC2. In the GNCC series, we're three rounds in. He's hovering right around that podium spot. We talked to him about that. Moving all the way over here from New Zealand just to race GNCCs, pursue his dreams. And, you know, training with Stuart Baylor, too. Another top XC1 guy. So, cool. Just a bunch of cool stuff from both those guys. As always, huge shout out to Blood Lubricants, makers of high quality racing oil, degreaser, chain lube. All that great stuff, and make sure to check them out at bloodlubricants.com, and make sure to use promo code WHISKEY for 25% off Blood Lubricants products. Again, that's bloodlubricants.com, B-L-U-D, lubricants.com. Also, huge shout out to Risk Racing. A lot of great, innovative motocross products they have going on. Riskracing.com, check them out. As always, like us on Facebook, follow us on Instagram, subscribe, iTunes, Stitcher, Google Podcasts, Spotify, all that good stuff really helps us out. All right, showtime. Right now, he's on a JMC Husky racing 250 West. It's Chris Howell. What's up, man?
Not much, guys. How are you doing?
I'm doing good. You know, just trying to adapt to. I just moved up to North Carolina from Florida, and we had some snow this morning, and now it's like 70, and the sun just went down, and I can't adapt to it.
Yeah, that's crazy. You got snow in April. That's bizarre.
I know, but you're probably, you know, pretty familiar with that, being up from the Pacific Northwest, huh?
Yeah, I mean, growing up in Washington, we definitely had snow at odd times.
So we just got done with Houston, Triple Crown. So first thing I want to ask, man, is how do we? What's your opinion on these new like style of racing?
I don't know. Some things are good, but others, I honestly really don't like them too much. I think the old traditional way is better, but. I guess it is what it is. We gotta adapt and race to it.
Yeah, like last year I hated them. I was like, I don't like it. It just wasn't like fun for me to watch. I guess I kind of like them a little bit better this year. But you know, one of the things that's a bummer, I think you saw it this weekend in Houston, is for the privateer guys and the guys who are just on the bubble. Like, it sucks when they don't make the main, and it kind of like some. I know it was Houston, so it was kind of more east than normal. But you guys only had, like, what, 32 entries in 250 class?
Yeah, entries were definitely low. I think it was a lot because of the Triple Crown, just because people didn't want to make the drive and not make the night show. But, yeah, it's definitely a bummer because you don't see any of the privateer guys. If they don't make the main, you don't see them in the night show. So that's kind of the crappy part about it. But the cool part about it is if you do make the main, you don't have to worry about getting into the night show, or getting the main in the night show, you know?
Yeah, I guess it, I mean, I have no idea. I've never even been close to that level, but it's probably pretty stressful if you do have to line up for the LCQ. So, you know, finishing up with practice and knowing you're in that, you know, fast 18 or the fast 22, kind of probably takes the stress off on the day.
Yeah, for sure. It definitely takes a little bit of the stress off. But then you have to go in and do three main events. So that's also hectic in its own.
Yeah, is it wear you out more? I mean, I guess is it more riding if you do a heat LCQ in Maine? I'm sure it's even still more riding than that, and just the intensity's got to wear you out.
Yeah, the heat race is 6 minutes plus a lap. The LCQ is 5 plus a lap, and the normal event is 15 plus a lap. And then the Triple Crown race are all 10 minutes plus a lap. So I think the actual riding is fairly close. But the intensity is a lot higher, and I don't feel like there's much of a break, too, because you get off the line, go back to the pit, get the bike ready real quick, and you're pretty much back on the line. So that's the other bummer. There's no time in between them, it feels like.
Yeah, I listen on the podcast and stuff and pretty into the sport, and I guess that's kind of been the main problem with the riders. Why they don't like it is it's too short in between the mains. And, you know, I know this year they allow you to have two bikes, but if you're not a factory guy, you're probably not going to have two, you know, race-ready bikes ready. So that's definitely got to make it tough as well.
Yeah, for sure. If something that big or something breaks on your bike and you don't have an extra bike, you're kind of done for the night, you know?
Yeah, maybe it's just, hopefully it's one of those things that keep, you know, tweaking and maybe it gets better. I really hope they don't add more than, you know, a couple. I think three is a good number to change it up. But I think if you start adding more too, like, they're always talking about growing the sport, and I think it's real confusing for, like, new fans to, you know, like, let's say they watched last weekend in Seattle, the regular format, and then this weekend, Triple Crown, you know, they're just a casual fan. They're probably going to be pretty confused.
Yeah, and I think that's kind of a bummer there, because if you're trying to get new people, they're just going to not understand why last weekend was different than this weekend. So I think you're right on that.
So 2 weeks ago, Seattle, home race for you. Got a 13th. That's got to be cool. I think, is that your career best?
Yeah, it actually was my career best. So that was solid, especially being at the hometown race and whatnot.
What's that like, you know, the hometown race? I'm sure it's cool, like, having all your family and friends there, but it's probably going to be a little distracting at the same time.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, it's definitely cool because I get a lot of fans running, coming through, but it definitely is distracting because, like, I was signing autographs all the way till I had to get back on my bike pretty much during practice and whatnot. So it was definitely a little hectic, but it's also cool to see that you have that many people that actually do support you and want your autograph, you know?
Yeah, for sure. And, dude, that was probably the driest Seattle I've ever seen, man. It almost looked a little loose and dusty even. It was kind of weird.
Yeah, it was super dry. We lucked out, especially with the race being so early in the year. And then it was definitely – I never imagined it would be that hard packed. It was super hard packed, and the track actually fit my style quite a bit. I enjoyed the track a lot.
Yeah, it was definitely cool. You know, I always wondered why they didn't do it in, like, the beginning of the year and maybe even put it where the Mariners play, just because it has the roof. You know, just it's Seattle, so you never really know. But I guess there was complications with that. So maybe if we can keep getting it in this March time slot, we might get some good weather.
Yeah, for sure. Whatever we do, hopefully it keeps getting good weather, because no one really likes a mud race.
So I think everyone knows you kept it interesting in Seattle with that LCQ battle, obviously battling with Jorgensen. And they ended up, you guys, you know, typical LCQ battle, banging bars and whatnot, what everybody loves. And he ends up going off the track, grabs a little bit of handful of throttle and jumps back in front of you. But he ends up getting docked. Were you surprised by that? Or did you kind of, after he passed, you're like, oh, what the heck?
Yeah, I mean, when it happened, I was just like, man, that sucks. But we just kept racing. And then they ended up docking him, like you said. And I believe they made the right call. I might be a little biased, but they definitely docked him because he accelerated off the track, and the rules say you're supposed to get back on track as soon and safely as possible without gaining an advantage, and accelerating on the side of the track is an advantage. So that's why they ended up docking him.
Yeah. You know, I heard people say, like, oh, like, they went off the track they were, like, even when they went off the track and stuff like that, you and him. But it's like, if you're getting knocked off the track, I think there's, you know, you're going to lose some time either way. You know, you can't just even hop back on exactly where you were. I think even then, like, if you're off the track, you're obviously gonna be behind you know the person who knocked you off. So I think they definitely made the right call.
Yeah, for sure. If you get knocked off the track, I think you're definitely going to lose time. You shouldn't lose time. You shouldn't actually gain time, because if you looked at the video, he actually pulled on the track a couple bike lengths ahead of me, and we went off the track relatively side by side. So it's a definitely a judgment call. I get what he was doing. He didn't want to lose the position, so he was trying to race and get it. But and I also wanted to gain the position. So it was, like I said, I think the AMA made the correct call, and it worked out in my favor. So I was pumped.
Yeah, definitely. It was, you know, definitely made it interesting. You got to love those LCQs. But, hey, man, we're 8 rounds in. how are you feeling about your season so far? Are you happy with it or satisfied?
It's been going okay. It's not as quite as good as I wanted it to. I definitely want to be in a little bit more mains. I struggled at the beginning of the year with a few things, and we worked on that, and then lately we've been consistently making the main events. So that's solid, and now we're just trying to get better. I want to be inside that top 10, so that's the goal, and that's what we came into the season going for, and that's where we're going to keep working on these last two rounds.
Let's talk about your program a bit. I know you're on the JMC team. How does that whole program work?
Yeah, it's pretty solid. We have a four-rider team, and they help me out quite a bit. I mean, it's a good team. We work well together, and our bikes are really good, and we have Joel and Michelle who own the team, and they do whatever they can to make sure that we can perform the best we can. And then we have some good mechanics, like Jensen's the head mechanic and helps build race bikes and whatnot, and all in all it's pretty solid.
I know maybe it was just for outdoors then last year, because I was talking to Austin Root, who rode for them outdoors last year, and it was kind of the team shows up to the race and they house your bikes and all that kind of stuff, but on kind of during the week you're still driving to the races and whatnot. Is it still like that for Supercross, or is it kind of more like a traditional team?
I mean, I'm responsible to get to the races myself, so if I want to fly, I can fly. If I want to drive, I can drive. Kind of about how it goes. But yeah, the bike shows up at the race, and I get to the race, and that's about it.
And Jay, that's a local Washington based team, right? Or it's a dealership too, right?
Yeah, they're a dealership out of Pasco, Washington.
Okay. Yeah, it's always cool. I guess, I know they had Carson Brown, another, local kid and stuff like that.
Yeah, no, Carson's been fun to be a teammate with and all that, so it's been good.
So you turned, I see here, I was looking through the RacerX vault. I see you turned pro in 2010, but it seems like you're only kind of hitting the local stuff, and then you really turned it on here in 2014. Are you pretty happy with your career so far?
I mean, yeah, I wish I would have learned a lot more earlier, but I pretty much worked on it all, me and my parents. We did what we could, and we're learning as we go. And there's definitely a lot to learn in the sport, and I wish we would have known a lot of stuff that we know now earlier, of course. But I feel like the last few years we've definitely been making some progress and whatnot. So.
Yeah, you're definitely – I feel like you've always, even now looking at your results, but before I did, you've always been pretty solid main event guy. You might miss one here and there, but definitely have skills as, one of the smoother riders out there just from watching you. I forgot to mention this earlier, but another thing I want to talk about was you did clip AC's bike over that over under after the finish line. What was like that? Like, just going over the jump and then seeing his bike just laying there. Does it kind of freak you out, or are you just used to it from racing Supercross?
No, I mean, that one's definitely unexpected. I came over the jump. There was no flags on the front side of the jump, so I had no clue that he was there, down. So I came over the jump, and I actually overjumped a little bit, and I landed right in the bottom, and I had no time to move, and I was pretty much going to center punch his bike, and I tried to miss it, but I ended up hitting, between his rear wheel and his swing arm and just sent me over the bars. It kind of sucked. Luckily, we were both okay, and it hit him or anything like that, but it was definitely – not expected.
Oh, that was so you went over the bars. I thought that was Leith. Maybe I'm confused on that one then.
No, that was the bike went over bars. Brandon was right in front of me and he missed them. So.
Oh, okay. You guys are all wearing the blue and with the Huskies. It was kind of hard to tell the difference, but man, that's wild. I don't know if you watched the broadcast, but they showed like the flagger and I think it was a girl. She's just standing right in the middle of like the floor, waving the flag on the other side of the jump where no one could see. I was just yelling at the TV, like, what are you doing? It's got to be rough out there with some of those flaggers.
Yeah, for sure. We saw that, and I was just like, man, we couldn't see her waving at all. So it was just – I'm actually really surprised that not more people hit Cincerillo.
Yeah, he definitely got lucky, too, because he was – I mean, well, Starling got him, but it was pretty – he was going pretty slow, so it was all right. But he was definitely trying to get back on the bike after that blind, that blind jump, and I was like, oh my God, this is not going to end well. But yeah, lucky for him, you didn't get hit. But let's take it way back here, Chris. How did you first get started, racing dirt bikes?
I got started racing dirt bikes from my dad. He raced when I was younger, and I thought it was a cool thing to do. And so he got me a dirt bike when I was like 3 or 4, and we started riding and having fun with it, and then started racing and all that fun stuff.
So did you do the whole Loretta's thing every year and all that? I know it's got to be a trek going from, probably almost just as far as you can go, being out all the way up the Pacific Northwest.
Yeah, I mean, I think we did Loretta's like 3 or 4 times. We didn't do it quite every year, like you said, because it was a super long trek and it was expensive. But we did hit it a few times, and it was a fun trip, kind of a little family vacation / racing.
Yeah, that's true. I guess make a little road trip out of it. So was Mammoth, I guess, would be your closest big amateur national then?
Yeah, it would be, and I actually never did that. The only ones I ever really did was Loretta's, and we did World Minis down in Vegas.
Okay.
So.
And that every time when Mammoth comes around, it just looks so sick, like at a big ski resort and all that. It looks be so fun to do. I wish I wasn't all the way on the East Coast. I'd definitely try it out.
Yeah. I've actually never been there, and like I said, I kind of want to go because it does look like a beautiful, fun event.
So who are some of your amateur rivals up there in Washington? Maybe not rivals, but just people you grew up riding with.
Grew up riding a lot with like Tommy Week and Jake Anstett and Tevin Tapia and a lot of those guys. So
yeah, it seems like every year there's maybe not every year, but every couple years there's a couple fast kids that go out of there. It seems like there's a real good motocross community and motocross scene up there.
Yeah, we have quite a bit of fast kids that come out of the Pacific Northwest. It's kind of cool to see, because like even just from my hometown area, we have like Brad Noddett, Noah McConaughey, Ryan Brees, and myself that all came from like the Spokane area, and it's kind of crazy to think about that.
Yeah, it's funny you mentioned Noah McConaughey, man. He was doing really good, and then he kind of just disappeared. I know he had some bad injuries. Is he still riding and racing or anything?
Yeah, he had some injuries. I think he decided to take a step backwards. I think he's still just riding and racing locally for fun.
I gotcha. So we have outdoors coming up. Any plan to do that or just hit, the local one, Washougal?
I think I'm planning on just doing the West Coast one, so like the first three and Washougal. So okay. That's kind of the plan right now.
So are you just – is Washougal – because it always seems like, you mentioned Tommy Week. When the local – like there's Southwick and then Washougal is another one. There's a lot of local people or local riders that show up and they do really well. Is that one open for open practice all the time, or is it just like the one race only, or is it only big races and stuff like that?
They have practice events and local races around there too, though. So it's – you could ride it quite a bit if you want to.
Okay. That makes sense because, dude, it's so cool every year. Like this year, Tommy Week just comes out and crushes it and then disappears for a whole nother year. I know he's doing riding schools and stuff up there, but it's cool to see tracks like that where just, Southwick's even more like that. Just the local product can show up and do really good.
Yeah, for sure. Southwick definitely tends to be more than Washougal, but I've never actually been to Southwick. It'd be fun to go hit.
Yeah, it's I'm from Florida. It's like I'm in North Carolina now, and like the sand, I hated the sand forever, but now that I ride in the clay, I miss it. And it's something about riding in sand just so fun. And even Southwick, it just looks so cool. Like when that first practice goes out there and there's not even a rut or a bump on the track, it just looks so fun.
Yeah, for sure.
Well, all right, Chris, before I let you go, who do you want to thank for, getting you out there?
Yeah, for sure. I appreciate doing a podcast with me. Yeah. It's been fun. But I'd like to thank James Seymour Sports Racing, Fly Racing, Husqvarna, Integrity Electric, Axiom Construction, WPS, Alliance Steel, Horn Rapids MX Park, Howard's Paving, McCormick Excavation, Evergreen Valley Construction, Rivers Edge, Owens Meat, Renfield, Renthal, Dunlop, Liquid Molly, W, Alpine Stars, Moto Stuff, Gutsies, Engine Ice, X Brand Goggles, Recluse, D21, Bud Racing, HGS Exhaust, Tri-City Tool, Enzo, Dynamic Designs, The Cherubies, Motion Pro, Techno Touch, X-Trig, Atlas Brace, CTI, Tandem Construction, The Man Shop, Flick Products, and Peters Hardware.
Awesome, man. Well, thank you very much for coming on, and you enjoy the rest of your night, and good luck in Denver and Vegas.
All right, man. Thank you very much.
All right. See ya.
Bye.
What's up, guys? We've got some exciting news as our sponsor, Blood Lubricants, continues to push the bar with high-quality products. In addition to their already outstanding racing oil, they've added fork and shock fluid, gear oil, chain lube, kick-ass degreaser, detailer, and pre-race spray. Whether you have a UTV, Harley, ATV, or dirt bike, Blood Lubricants has you covered. They're offering sponsorship opportunities from the amateur level to the pro level, and they're already sponsoring top privateers like Tyler Bowers, Henry Miller, and Bubba Pauly. Racing is in their blood, but that's not all. They want to hook you guys up as well. Head on over to bloodlubricants.com. That's B-L-U-D lubricants.com, and use promo code WHISKEY for 25% off your order. No need to rewind it. I'll say it again. 25% off your order with promo code WHISKEY at bloodlubricants.com. Jeff Green, hooking you guys up. High quality stuff. Check it out. Back to the show. All right. On the line with me right now, he's coming off of fifth place at XC2 at the Steel Creek GNCC. It's Liam Draper. What's up, dude? How's it going?
Good, man. Yeah, we just got back from Steel Creek. It was a pretty good race to me. I've been having a rough past few weeks. After Florida GNCC, I had a heat stroke down there, so I've just been recovering from that pretty much. It hit me pretty hard. I went unconscious down there in Florida, and the past week I was getting dizzy, and I could barely do a 30-minute moto without getting dizzy.
Oh, wow. That sounds super gnarly. Yeah, I see here you got 14th, but I was there, and I remember you running up front. You had a heat stroke while you're racing on the track, not after?
Yeah, I was running third on the last lap there. I had 8 miles to go, and I had a little tip over in a sand turn. I was around a bunch of people that I knew, and I went to get up and collapse, and that was it. They came over and knew something was wrong, and I couldn't get up. I was unconscious, and they tore my helmet off me, and I was so hot. My body temperature was really hot, and I came back around, and then I went back out, and they knew I wasn't too good.
Yeah, that's a huge bummer, first of all. But then, you know, that round always seems to, get the guys, it's because it's always super hot. I'm from Florida originally, from South Florida even. And even then, it seems super hot on that Sunday. So it really takes a toll on those guys. It's probably tough, that being the first round too.
Yeah, no, it was super tough. I've been down there for 3 weeks down there training at Croom and over at Caleb's, and but there was it was nothing like that. It was super hot and super rough, and yeah, I'd been drinking a lot, and I ran out on my Camelback on that last lap, and I was going to get another one just for that last lap because I knew I was needing water, and I didn't quite make it to the pits.
Yeah, oh, man, that's it. I've never like passed out from heat exhaustion or anything like that. I mean, I've gotten like dizzy and stuff, and that is super gnarly, so I couldn't imagine being in your shoes. But I mean, like, good thing it wasn't worse too. And you were able to rebound the next weekend, put in the top seven at Georgia. How'd that go for you?
Yeah, Georgia was good. I mean, they were back to back. So the week leading up to Georgia, I literally did nothing. I went out to the track with Stu and watched. Really, I was just so drained, and to try and get all the fluids I needed back into me, I just couldn't really ride. I didn't train. I think I did one spin day that week, and that was it, really.
Yeah, I'm sure it just takes everything out of you, and you probably feel like shit for like a week or two after.
Yeah, I was feeling, yeah, felt terrible, cramps and everything, really. I wanted to get an IV at the track, but they wouldn't let me. They wanted to take me to the hospital. And being not from America, if you go to the hospital, it's an expensive experience. And just to go there for an IV when you know what's wrong,
yeah.
I didn't need to go.
It would just be more of a pain in the ass than anything else. So about this weekend, I was out there Steel Creek. I raced the morning race, so I got to watch all you guys race in the afternoon. You looked really good, dude. I was watching you on that big hill climb, and you looked really, super smooth. So I wanted to get you on. How did Steel Creek go for you?
Yeah, no, it was good. I enjoyed it. It's a brutal track, especially with all those lappers. I got a good start and hooked in with Evan Smith there for a while and followed him for a bit and then sort of lost him with some lappers and stuff, and Johnny Gerard got by me, and I thought those two sort of got away from me, and I sort of just rode my own race. I rode by myself for the rest of the day, and the last two laps, I think I rode with Corey Butchick, the XC1 guy, and it was good. I enjoyed the track. It was good to be finally back up where I know I need to be and running up top with those boys.
Yeah, like I said, man, you looked super smooth and looked good. You mentioned lappers, man, and obviously in off-road racing, especially like GNCCs, lappers are always going to be an issue. But I was so shocked at how many more people were at Steel Creek than like the general in Georgia. So even in the morning race for me, it was bad just there being so many people on the track. And I couldn't imagine, you know, going your speed and dealing with the lappers. What were your strategies to get by those guys?
That's super tough to get by them. I mean, you come up behind them, you sort of normally rev and yell out a little bit back from them and hope they're either going to stick their hand out and point which way they want you to go. They're the best lappers, but the lappers that want to race you just suck, you know. Yeah. You know, you're coming up, there's a pro rider that's lapping you. Just let them by. There's no point racing them. You're being lapped. You can't run our speed.
Yeah, it's so funny, man. Even at the local level, you get that. And I could imagine you got guys like, oh, you know, like Liam Draper's behind me. Thad Duvall's behind me. I'm going to try to race into the corner. You know, I'm going to try to ride with this guy. And it's like, dude, like, don't ruin the race. Just move the hell over.
Yeah, exactly. You know, it's just another risk for us, you know, with a lapper trying to race you or a lapper trying to take you out or something. It's just so much easier for them to pull over and let you go, you know. They're out there to have fun. We're out there. It's our job,
yeah,
you know.
Exactly. And it's like, you don't have to pull over even so, you know, just hold your line. I've seen a lot of guys that, like, they'll even look back to see you and then they'll move in that direction. And then I've seen, you know, some pro guys even get taken out, like, maybe the lapper wasn't trying to do it, but still just kind of sketchy.
Yeah, I had one last year. I forget what round it was, but yeah. He took me right out, that's for sure. And it smashed all my hydraulic line off my clutch and made for a tough race.
So you mentioned you're riding with Stu. You're racing for the Tele Energy KTM team. How did you get hooked up with those guys?
Well, last year was my first year over here in America, and it was funny enough at Georgia GNCC, I knew who Stu was, and I you know, followed him back home in New Zealand and watched GNCC, and I was walking the track, and he just happened to say hello, and we got talking, and then the next week I messaged him on Instagram to see if I could ride with him, and I went and rode with him, and I was living in the back of my Sprinter van at GTR, and Stu said come round, and I went round and had dinner and hung out, and he found out I was living in my van, and he offered for me to live with him, and I've been living with him since Steel Creek last year was when I moved in with him, and I'm still living with him here now, and that gave me the opportunity to become teammates with him on Tele, and Todd's an awesome team boss, and Stu and Jade, who I live with, are just awesome people. You can ask for a better people to live with.
Yeah, it seems like it's really cool with the GNCC guys. Like my buddy Bryce Koster, he rides at Trevor's Bollinger's a lot and vice versa. It seems like the GNCC guys kind of reach out to each other and let each other ride more so than the moto guys do. It's pretty cool to see.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, like the Baylors especially, I think, are such awesome people. You know, Big Stu's dad, he's got Taylor from Australia living over there, and I live with little Stu over here, and it's pretty awesome. I got Stu and his uncle are building a facility out here in Hodges and in Donald, sorry, and I'm helping out running machines and building tracks, and yeah, I'm very lucky to have the opportunity I have. I travel with Stu every day, ride with him every day, work out with him every day. We have the same trainer, travel the races, same team. It's pretty cool.
Have you noticed, like, you know, any improvement since riding with Stu? I mean, obviously, riding with a faster guy is going to make you faster. Have you, like, kind of picked up on some of his skills and whatnot?
Yeah, definitely. I mean, I went from last year when I first got here. I got a 10th at Big Buck, a 9th in Florida, and then I went and moved in with Stu, and we went to Steel Creek, and I got a, I think it was a 5th last year. So I've learned a lot, picked up a lot of speed. I mean, I'm riding with one of the fastest riders in the world, and it just helps so much trying to chase him around every day.
Yeah, definitely. It, you know, definitely makes sense. How is that place, the Shoals? It looks like it's got a little bit of everything.
Yeah, it's awesome. It's perfect. I mean, we got sand, we got dirt, red clay. We got a snowshoe loop full of rocks. We got creek bed, and we got turn tracks. We just finished our Supercross and Arena Cross track, and yeah, it's a facility in the making. It's we're putting in full RV hookups and shops, and there's going to be a gym out there and moto tracks and a private and a public side, and yeah, it's going to be pretty awesome.
Yeah, I follow it on Instagram. I'm up in the Charlotte area, so I'm just waiting for it to go public. I really want to go down there. It looks super cool. Hey, did you guys get any of that snow today in the Carolinas?
No, we didn't.
Dude, it was...
No, it's been cold this morning.
I was at work, and I look outside, and it just starts snow coming down. It was wild. It was so random, and now it's like 70 degrees and sunny. It's so weird.
Huh. Yeah, no, it's nice here now.
So you mentioned, you know, obviously you're not from here, you're from New Zealand, if anyone didn't pick up on the accent. You said you came over here last year just before the start of the season?
Yeah, no, I came over, it was maybe 3 weeks before Big Buck last year. I got in touch through, I used to stay a lot and live with Paul Wibley for a couple months back home. And he got me hooked up with KR4, and I bought all my own stuff last year, and they helped out a lot, and people like Moose and Kender and all that helped me a lot. And I did rode for KR4 last year and did the full gas sprint enduros and GNCC, and then I came back this year and was lucky enough to be on the Tele team and riding for KTM.
Yeah, it's pretty cool to see some, you know, international riders. Is there like a GNCC-type series out in New Zealand?
Yeah, we have a it is called GNCC. Paul Wibley actually runs it back home. It's a cross-country series. It's a lot smaller. I mean, we're lucky to get 100 people to our biggest national, you know, our New Zealand championship. We're lucky to get 100 people, you know, so... It was a massive shock to me coming over and coming into Big Buck last year for the first time and seeing, you know, you got 1,000 people probably there.
And,
so it was pretty crazy.
Yeah, definitely. Even like Steel Creek this weekend, I was just shocked on how many people were out there riding. What made you decide on GNCC?
I grew up doing trials. Trials is my background. And then I went and did some motocross. I was lucky enough. I know Ben Townley very well back home, and he said to do some motocross to get the speed. And I sort of just stayed on the off-road side and did some motocross. And then my family, my dad's always grown up racing in the woods, and I've been riding in the woods ever since I was probably 5 or 6. And I just went carried on racing there in the woods. And then it took off, and I won a few big events back home and sort of got to the end of where things were at home. And you can either stay at home and you can't really make a living racing dirt bikes at home. There's not enough people. There's not enough money. So I gave it a go and wanted to chase my dream. And so I came over here with the big support of my family, and I came over here last year, and that's where I am now, back over here this year.
So what track or which round would you say most resembles like the terrain out in New Zealand, if any of them do?
I mean, we have a lot of dirt, so kind of like Big Buck, Florida, but I mean, our tracks did not get nowhere near as rough. You know, that was another big thing. I trained down at Paul Wibley's in the sand for 2 months, and I thought that was rough, and he didn't groom it for like 4 months, and I thought that was rough. And every time he told me this is nothing compared to what it's like over here, I thought he was joking. And then I got here, and I knew he was right. So,
Yeah, I guess with, you know, like 100 entries, it's going to be kind of hard for it to get, you know, all rutted up and whooped out. And what?
Yeah.
Or go ahead, sorry.
Yeah, no, it doesn't get rough. It's super smooth and fast. And I came over, I brought my suspension over from New Zealand and it was way off. You know, our tracks just, my stuff was not suited for how rough these tracks are.
You said you come from a trials background, so would you say you're better at the more like technical stuff like snowshoe or the faster stuff like kind of we saw it at the general in Georgia?
I came from a trials background. I do like it a little more technical, and snowshoe last year wasn't technical. It was a drag race. There were technical bits in it, but I think they took them out due to the weather, and it would have been bad if they had left them in. So. But I do like some fast stuff. I mean, I train on a motocross track every day out at the Shoals or a turn track. I mean, a turn track width of a bulldozer. So it's kind of like a moto track. But, I would prefer a more technical one.
I got you. I raced snowshoe 9 years ago now, and I was riding like Sportsman B, and it was probably the hardest thing I've ever done in my life. Again, I'm from Florida, so it's all flat. And it was just so gnarly. I couldn't imagine racing the 3 hour one. It was just a 2 hour.
Yeah, no, it rang. It poured with rain, so they took a lot of it out. And it was still kind of technical because of the rain and the wet and the rocks and stuff. But wasn't as near as technical as what they had marked out. But that's what it is. So, yeah, I'd like to do a few more hard enduro races over here. Mm-hmm. That's my plan this year.
Yeah, that the Tennessee Knockout looks super gnarly.
Yeah, that's one I need to I want to tick off. Also, some enduro crosses would be cool to do. But I'm just seeing how things go.
Yeah, it's a bummer though. The enduro cross series is kind of just out west now. I remember they used to come east. I know they had one in Florida, they had one in South Carolina, but now it kind of seems we're all out west. It's kind of a bummer.
Yeah, that's what I heard. They're all out on the west coast, but hopefully I may go out there and do one.
So Liam, what are your goals for the rest of the year? Where do you want to be?
I want to be on the podium at GNCC and win the Pro Tour National Enduro Championship.
So did you go down? You went down and did the alligator?
Yep, I sure did.
I saw a couple helmet cams, so, you know, it's obviously deceiving, but it actually looked really good.
It may look good on camera, but it was a pretty gnarly, pretty gnarly race, but it was very super tight, a lot of palmettos, and the arrowing wasn't the greatest. I actually had a crash with another rider coming the other way.
Oh, wow. That's never good.
Yeah. No, he got lost and he thought he was on the wrong trail and came back towards me. So, I mean, it was fun. I enjoyed it. It was, you got on with it, but wasn't my favorite race.
Yeah, I gotcha. All right, man. Well, thank you so much for coming on. And before I let you go, who do you want to thank for, you know, getting you out there?
Just the whole Tele Energy team, ODI, Kinder, Moose Racing, Bell, Oakley, XC Gear, JDP Suspension, Spectro Oils, Denge Graphics, and Todd, our team owner, my mechanic Garrett and Kevin, my mom and dad back home in New Zealand, my little sister, just everyone. It's a massive help, and especially to Stu and Jade for having me live with them.
Awesome, man. Well, I'll see you in South Carolina. I'll make sure to come by and say what's up, and you enjoy the rest of your night.
Sweet, man. Thank you.
Yep. See ya.
Yeah. Straight caught up in the game. My life won't be the same. Straight caught up in the game. My life won't be the same.
living the life, that's how I live. Try to get out, tell me how to survive without my crew. Armani's, Ferraris, casinos, hitting jackpots. Good luck, I think not, we own the car from block to block. City to city, all day, every day. It's like a celebration for the criminal nation. Himido, wife and kids, that's what I need. Wanna go out like a man, try to understand without blood on my hands. Dear God, please save my soul, I put the rest on hold. Not seven, I still got time to reach heaven. 1 million reasons to get out, choose one, there's only one. To put the 9mm to your dome, then you're gone. Did I do right or wrong? Tell me. I might drop some tears from my eye, but you never see me cry. Champagne, spit rhymes like crazy insane. LA to Stocktown, different players caught up in the same game.
Am I right or am I wrong?
Straight.